When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Victimhood is a great way to dodge either A, a feeling of shame, yeah. or B, ownership, responsibility. Oh, I have to do something now. I have to work on me. Yeah, victimhood is a great way to avoid both of those things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and it takes us away from courage when we play victim.
Yeah.
Because it is directly associated with being a coward. Whereas ownership, which is the, you know, paradox would be the word for that, is the paradox to victimhood, is directly associated with courage.
Mm-hmm.
It takes courage to take ownership for the bad shit that happened.
That's right, yeah.
Like, that's a hard thing to do.
My name is Johnny L. Sasser, and I'm a former Special Operations U.S. Army Ranger and Tactical Commander to the U.S. Ambassador's Protective Detail. I have seen the struggle even the most hardened men have faced when they combat their inner demons, and I am here to shine a light on those struggles to show that no man is exempt from adversity and internal pain. Men from all walks of life share their stories of hardship, darkness, and perseverance so that every man knows that whatever he is going through, he is not alone. Evolution for Men begins now.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to The Art of Masculinity. We are in the second episode of this series of stepping into the man that you want to become. And man, that first episode was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
I am so happy about it. If you guys have not listened to it, and this is your first time jumping on, make sure you guys go back to last week, which is all about purpose. It's kind of the foundational piece of stepping into the man that you want to become. Make sure you guys go check that out. It's not a prerequisite, but I do highly recommend it. It's going to give you guys a little bit of insight of potentially where you are in life, potentially give you some friction points where you got to have some honest conversations with yourself. And then it's part of also this series that Frank and I have created for you guys, which is a 4-part series. And it's all about stepping into the man that you want to become. And it's built around what we kind of agree are the 4 philosophies to really starting this journey in your life of being this highly authentic man who's going to find happiness with himself, which is then going to find happiness with the rest of his life, all the other areas. So really, really glad you guys are back with us. If you did listen last week, Frank is a legend. We had such a good conversation. This is, you know, multiple times he's been on the show now.
That's right.
And we got a few more going.
Yeah.
So this is going to be super fun. This week is going to be a challenging one, I think. It's going to get a little spicy, guys. So I'm really happy you're along for the ride with us on this. If, again, just like last week, man, this gets a little challenging, you feel a little called out, good. That's an area that you need to dive into yourself. That's an area that you need to start asking real questions for yourself. Mm-hmm. I know when I was going on my development journey, when I would get a little crunchy in areas or when I would get a little resistant, I knew that I was protecting an insecurity. So if that's what you feel, there's a high likelihood you got an insecurity in there that we've kind of scratched the surface on and you want to look a little deeper into that. So we're diving into this courage and cowardice. And for me, and I'm going to have you open up in a little bit about this too, because you got some perspectives on it. You've coached a long time. For me, when it comes to this, is that, you know, being in an alpha world of men, when I was in protection and in special operations, we had a lot of guys that would essentially use forms of courage to really kind of overarchingly protect the insecurities they didn't want to dive into. Mm. And I find that to be something I did early on, where it's like guys will present themselves as being tough. They'll present themselves as being willing to sacrifice their lives. But in reality, what those things are covering up is their lack of self-worth, or it's covering up their lack of understanding what the emotions are that's going on underneath them. And they don't know why those are there. So then they protect it with this form of courage, or what is perceived as courage. And typically when they're so vocal about it, it's usually the, in my opinion, it's oftentimes been the signifying feature of it being a mask to insecurity. Mm-hmm. So when I was diving down the whole courage thing, and I think to a lot of times, guys a lot of times will say this, you'll resonate with this. They'll be like, I would die for you, right? We've seen it in movies a lot of times, right? Like when the damsel in distress, or the woman of the guy's, you know, feature is there, and he's like, I would die for you. I would sacrifice everything. I would kill for you, right? Like, they're forms of what people believe is courage.
Right.
But in reality, it's covering up a deep insecurity of the man not feeling like he's enough in other ways, right? So he's not enough emotionally. He's not enough physically. He's not enough intellectually. He's not enough in a lot of different ways. So he's gotta really just jam this courage thing in their face of like, I'll give you the pinnacle. Right. I'll give you death, right? And it's like, cool, because at that point, like, no one's gonna question it, right? It's almost like an end all be all. But I find that in oftentimes that is where guys really struggle, because then when they say that, they're almost telling themselves, well, I don't have to look any further with it. I don't have anything that I have to explore. And it's almost a coward's way out. And that's what I find with guys. And I know for me, the hardest part was talking to that coward and saying, well, okay, like, yeah, sure. You've done a lot where you've showed people you will go die. Cool. That's perfectly cool. But then, what is it inside of you that has to get dealt with that says that you're not worth anything else except dying? You know, what else do you have to explore in your own journey of being this authentic man that feels good about being everything he can be to other people, intellectually, emotionally, spiritually, heart-centered, being that guy and not having to go and say, or not having to go put your life on the line and say like, oh, that's it. This is courageous, right?
Right.
It's courage to, in my opinion, it's courage to face your shadows. And it's courage to say, I have some wounds I got to heal. It's courage to say, I have some insecurities I need to double check on, because I don't feel worthy anymore. I don't feel like I can do the things that people expect of me, because I feel incapable. And so when I get into this conversation, a lot of guys get really uncomfortable. They get really scared, because they know what's coming has got to be a real conversation internally. And I know you've had such a checkered past in your life where almost your escapism was potentially death, right?
Yeah.
and it took a lot of courage for you to even come out of that, but there was a lot of covering up and running away, which is cowardice, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm interested to hear, after giving a little bit of exposure of what I'm, you know, what I kind of went through in this and what I was protecting, what did that look like for you too?
So my lack of courage, or the way you're framing it, false courage that was masking an insecurity, probably came more in the form of invulnerability, rather than this kind of ultimate sacrifice, or kind of almost martyrdom of, I'll just put it all on the line for you. I would die for you, as a masking of, because I'm really not worthy otherwise.
Yeah.
So I need to compensate for my lack of worth by saying that. Mine was, I was masking my pain and my insecurities. Yeah, my insecurities, my lack of self-worth, my lack of probably identity at the time, clarity, definitely purpose at that age. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a purpose, or I wasn't clear on one.
Yeah.
And really uncomfortable in the man I was in many ways, like some deep-rooted feelings of inadequacy. So instead, I presented an image of invulnerability, of being kind of not necessarily aloof, but just unaffected, unaffected, and very much a don't fuck with me kind of persona, you know, cool guy or whatever. But as soon as you fuck with me, I will let you know, like, you fucked with the wrong one, And that for me was a badge of honor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My invulnerability of you can't affect me. And then my very defensive kind of, I will make you regret, you know, fucking with me. Mm-hmm. Those things at the time were a badge of honor. And it took me a long time to peer deep enough into that to be able to see that's not a badge of honor, one. it's actually very ugly from the outside. And two, it is the antithesis of courage.
Yeah.
It's rooted in cowardice.
Yeah.
It's rooted in fear. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the fear? I don't want you to hurt me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to look like a pussy. I don't want to look like I'm weak. And I know deep down, I'm an incredibly sensitive individual who has been hurt by people before. So I need to now mask that with this persona of not just invulnerability of you can't affect me, but if you even do something to try or intentionally or otherwise, I'm going to make you regret it and put the fear of God in you. And those things became a badge of honor until I realized I see through my own shit. And as we become older and wiser, we can now see that guy. I know I can see that guy and be like, oh, yeah. Brother, you're scared.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're scared. That's not a badge of honor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lack of courage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That was when I started on my personal development journey, and this is kind of where I came up with this idea of like, there's a difference between courage and cowardice, and similar to what we talked about on last episode with passion and purpose, there's actually a very fine line, and they can almost present themselves to look similar, which is people probably listening right now, they're like, Johnny, a coward's a pretty distinct thing, but it's not when you're talking about psychologically for men.
Right.
Because the fact that the courage they're presenting is the protection of the insecurity, which is really actually putting them in a position of being a coward because they're not diving into the things that they need to. And so for me, when I did this reflection for myself, which was hard, man, like I came from a very alpha background. So for me to be like, oh, you're being a coward, I was like, wait, what? I'll fight you. I'll be like Jim right. Carrey in freaking Liar, Liar, and fight you in the bathroom. Like, what are you doing? I'm kicking my own ass.
That's right, yeah.
But I had a conversation with myself, and it was really about, you know, not wanting to embrace personal development. And my wife knows this, and some of the listeners know, but I used to joke about this. I used to say people that were doing personal development were super weak-minded, that they needed this support system and help and like couldn't figure their own shit out, right?
Yeah.
All the meanwhile, right. You're shaking your head because you're like, I know how I'd coach this, Johnny, right?
I know that guy.
Yeah. But I was sitting there, and what it was I didn't want to dive into my own shadows. And it was like, I read a book by Dr. Wayne Dyer called Excuses Be Gone. And Dr. Wayne Dyer, the way that he writes, it's a very direct way. And so like in that book, it was just kind of like, hey, if you're doing this, you're probably protecting something inside. And I was like, am I? And I was like, oh yeah, I am. Mm-hmm. I'm protecting like some big insecurities. And one of the big insecurities I had was that vulnerability piece. Like you couldn't be vulnerable with anybody because it was, if you were vulnerable, you could be exposed and it could be used against you and all those things. And
right. And
coming from an alpha background, like that is not what you wanted them to see, but you also didn't want to get picked on because of it, right? Because that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So you had this learned behavior around it. So the courage to make fun of personal development or what seemed was courage to some people or a badge of honor of strength was really that masking of my cowardice running from, well, what was I scared inside of me that I was going to have to confront? Like, what were the issues I was carrying or what were the realities of my own bullshit that I needed to call out, that needed to be called out, that I was running from? And that was what it really looked like. That was the start of it for me. That was the start of this realization that I was using courage as a mask. It was using courage as this thing I could outwardly show people, and then they wouldn't ask any more questions, right? I could shut them down.
Yeah.
All the while being like, oh yeah, some of this stuff is really kind of confronting.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm lighting up a little bit because this is, I get excited when I stumble upon something like this in my work with my guys.
Yeah.
Is that as soon as there's some resistance or rigidity around something, I'm like, cool, so that's where we're gonna go. Yeah, right. Because usually that's the case. It's I'm afraid of this, so now I'm going to throw stones at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just like, yeah, I'm on to you, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, and it is definitely more common with guys. Guys love to do that. There's courage in admitting that we feel inadequate about something or that we're insecure. You know, there's courage in vulnerability. And on the flip side of it, presenting invulnerability is, one, it's a kind of grandiosity, which is a whole other conversation, but it's a deficiency. It's a deficiency in your masculinity and in your character. It's masking a deficiency that is now never going to be worked on. So as soon as we can kind of have that paradigm shift, which is, you know, our job to help guys with that, which is challenging, right? Because a lot of times we get a defensive reaction and we have to remind them like, hey, this is tough love. This is coming from a place of love, not judgment. But to be able to get them to peer a little bit deeper and say, come on, it's all right, bro. Let's explore this. You know, let's lean into this and let's lean into the vulnerability and let them see that there is way more courage in leaning into vulnerability and that there's really no courage in that bravery is not to be confused with invulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the same thing.
Right.
You know, is that they think that they're being courageous because they think that they're coming across as brave by seeming unaffected by something or having a strong stance on something of being like, I'm better than this. I know better than this. That's for weak people. It's not actually bravery.
Right.
It's not real bravery.
No, not at all. I also want to give a couple examples here that probably everybody will be able to relate to. And that's the, like, think of like the guy, the over machismo dude in the bar, right? Late at night, everybody's already had a few drinks and stuff like that. And he's got his girlfriend there and a guy goes up and talks to his girlfriend, right? And then he's like, don't talk to my girl, right? Like we've seen this in movies and a million times. And like, we've seen it in real life. And you look at these guys and they get that overprotective nature of that, right? And reality, that all stems from an insecurity in himself that the woman actually is attracted to him. So he feels he has to go over and present some form of courage of trying to peacock, as I like to refer to it.
Mm-hmm.
He peacocks out to show that he's courageous enough to fight this guy or to have a physical altercation or to have a verbal altercation with him. So that way he backs up and doesn't talk to his girl anymore.
Yeah.
But it all stems from the cowardice of he's so insecure with his relationship or insecure with himself in the role of that relationship that he's got to present this form to the outside world that could be perceived as courageous. And he feels is courageous, right?
Mm-hmm. He needs to do that.
Right.
Yeah. It's like the alpha. There's the guy who needs to be and needs to establish that he's the alpha in the room. Is he actually then?
No.
Right.
I refer to that as the false alpha.
Right, right. Well, I mean, and that's kind of lines up with what we're talking about here is that there could be cowardice in that as well.
Oh, 100%.
I need you to know that I'm the alpha.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that I need you to know that is a sign of a deficiency in my self-confidence. That I need you to know that and I need to be validated by you knowing that I'm the alpha in the room. That's not, that's not a badge of honor.
Yeah.
That's not a badge of honor. So, but it's the same, it's very similar, I think, to what you're describing here with the guy at the bar.
Yeah.
Is that he needs a few people to know. He needs validation from few people. He needs validation from her of I need you to know that I'm going to win you or that I'm going to prove, you know, my courage. By stopping all these guys or by protecting you or whatever it is, proving to you my courage and my bravery, but also I need you guys to know that I'll fight you or do whatever I have to do to protect my woman. The fact that you need anybody to know anything, brother, is a sign of an insecurity. Yeah. So, it's what you're talking about again. It's that false, it's cowardice, ultimately.
It is. It's cowardice.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of Game of Thrones. And it was Joffrey was like, he was saying something. He goes, I'm the king. And Tyrion Lannister, the dwarf Tyrion, he goes, if you have to tell people, or I think it was his father, actually, he goes, if you have to tell people you're the king, Are you really the king? Mm. It's like the same thing.
Same thing.
Right? And I butchered that statement, but it was something along those lines.
We're following.
But it's there's a lot of actions, and this is why I want to bring this to light for men, and this is why this is important as the next building block, in my opinion and in our opinion, I would say, for this stepping into the man you want to become. Because the next thing is, courage is what opens us up to actually be vulnerable. Courage is what actually opens us up to exploring the shadows and the edges that we were scared to find. And that's where we have to really have this defining piece of, okay, is my courage actually cowardice? And some of my actions can look as courageous, as we just talked about quite a few. Mm-hmm. They can look as courageous to the outside world, but deep down, we know that they're cowardice.
Yeah.
And in that becomes our revelation of, now we get to the opportunity to explore. And so we also have that level of indifference, that level of indifference and victimhood. You know, we're in a world where the victim is, everybody's painting themselves as the victim. That is just, that is where society is today. There's a complete lack of ownership in life.
Yep.
And there's a complete lack of ownership with men. And again, I found it in my life. So this isn't me speaking from secondhand or third-hand knowledge or anything. This is from firsthand experience, that even for myself, there was this level of victimhood at points in my life, that the external world was driving my narrative. The external world was driving my relationship, or drove my divorce, right? And that was one of the things, my first marriage, when I had my divorce, it was like, oh, she was a bitch, or she fucking wouldn't do the work, or she wouldn't do this, right? But then when I was sitting in my apartment alone with my dog, just like a good old country song, and a glass of bourbon on my table, it was like, I could have done a lot of things better. I could have done a lot. What was my role in this? Like, what was my responsibility for this? I felt like, I did some things that probably were some ways of being like, I'm trying to do some things better. But there was a lot more I could have done, but I wasn't developed enough to have made those judgment calls or to have had that conversation. So in that moment, I was playing the victim. Before that, I was playing the victim. And then I finally had something click in my own development that said, there's got to be some ownership here, bro. Like, you need to take responsibility. Yeah. That's not all on her. And in fact, majority of it probably wasn't. You could have done a lot more to move that outcome in a different way.
Victimhood is a great way to dodge either A, a feeling of shame, or B, ownership, responsibility. Oh, I have to do something now. I have to work on me. Yeah, victimhood is a great way to avoid both of those things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and it takes us away from courage when we play victim, because it is directly associated with being a coward. Whereas ownership, which is the, you know, paradox would be the word for that, is the paradox to victimhood, is directly associated with courage.
Mm-hmm.
It takes courage to take ownership for the bad shit that happened.
That's right. Yeah.
Like, that's a hard thing to do.
It is, because then no one's going to save you except you.
Right.
Yeah. And society gives us a lot of outs.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really perpetuates victimhood in a lot of ways. And we got to be really careful of that. I see a lot of it more and more and more. Yeah, I'll speak to this a little bit. So I was clinically diagnosed as... take out the list. at one point or another in my life, bro, like it was clinically depressed, anxiety, mood disorder, ADHD, dyslexia, you know, all of these things. And I've probably at some point or another been prescribed medication, I think for all of them. And I think that this is one of those things where society kind of perpetuates victim thinking. And I got to be careful about how I say this, because I'll catch some flack for it, and I already have. But my position on this is that it's really easy to take on the belief or the mindset of, this has happened to me. I didn't ask for this. Mm-hmm. I didn't do anything to cause this. I'm depressed. I didn't ask to be depressed. I didn't do anything to become depressed.
Right.
You know, same thing with my anxiety, same thing with all these other things that I just mentioned, ADHD, dyslexia, blah, blah, blah. So therefore, obviously, I'm a victim. It happened to me.
Yeah.
So it rids me of all responsibility. Yeah. I don't have to do anything to cope with it. I'll just take a pill for it and I'll ask for special treatment. Or I can be a fighter. And instead of asking for special treatment, I could work a little harder. Mm-hmm. I could read more books to help with my dyslexia. Yeah. I could try writing a book and give myself a lot of time, you know, so that I can make the mistakes and all that. And yeah, maybe I might need some medication initially to help me along. I'm not anti-medicine necessarily, but I am pro coping mechanisms. And I am pro ownership. Mm-hmm. And I am pro having the courage to say, I want to work through this. Mm-hmm. This is something that life is not happening to me, that I can take action on this, that I can still work through this, and I could choose to not make this a part of my identity. I think there's way more courage in that than what I see a lot of, which is that the courage is in making it a part of your identity and embracing it and admitting, I'm ADHD and I don't feel bad about it anymore. And, mm-hmm. you know, and like, okay, that's great. Maybe that did take some courage. I think that there is exponentially more courage in not making it a part of your identity and being like, I'm just Frank.
Yeah.
I don't need to be treated any differently. Mm-hmm. I don't need you to know this in the early stages of getting to know me, yeah. so that at work I'm given more time, or that I'm if I call out, I get a pass. No, mm-mm. I want to be held to the same standard, actually. I want to be held to the same standard that you hold everybody else. And I think I think that there's exponentially more courage in that, mm-hmm. and that it is that is the pathway away from victimhood into ownership, responsibility, self-belief, empowerment, taking control over your life.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it is. And I love like your story, because your story is a psychological story that a lot of people probably deal with far more than gets exposed, right?
Yeah.
And maybe not all the things you were diagnosed with at once, but they probably all have pieces of that, right? You know, all around the United States predominantly, I would say. But people deal with pieces of what you have dealt with psychologically, and they play a victim to one or two of those things. And it's not to say you're more of a badass because you had all five and dealt with them, right? But like, it's just to say we can understand that people are going to play victim to those things. And when we really take responsibility and really take ownership as men of that, that puts us on our path to actually exhibiting what true courage is, which is not playing the victim to outside circumstances. Yes, shit happens. I had a guy on the show that was a thalidomide baby, and this guy was born with no arms. He didn't fucking plan for that. His mom took a medication that they were told was supposed to help with morning sickness and stuff for women, right?
Yeah.
And he was a thalidomide baby. There's like only like 30,000 of them. And this motherfucker is like playing drums for the Canadian National Orchestra. He's like, he's a speaker. He's made a life that he never wants to be a victim. He never wants someone to treat him differently. Mm. And he has made a life, a successful life with a massive setback, right? And mm-hmm. it wasn't what he asked for, and there's stories of like this that we hear about all the time. My question to you, and my question for all you guys out there, but my question to you, because I'd love to hear your perspective, why do guys see these stories and still want to play the victim to a hard day's work, or having to work 12 hours to make ends, 12 hours a day to make ends meet? Like, why do guys still want to play victim to this and allow their lives to be stripped away from them, their happiness to be stripped away from them?
It's the same answer. It's they don't want to take responsibility. It's the same answer. That might lie somewhere deep in their subconscious, is the aversion to responsibility, or Peter Pan syndrome, or I don't want to do the work. But let's say I'm going through my feed and I'm one of these guys, right? And I see that. Or I see a guy doing pull-ups in a wheelchair, right? Yeah. And I'm moved.
Right.
I think that the idea of that is really cool, and the idea of that is really inspiring, and I love the idea of that, and I'm going to talk about that on my next podcast, or I'm going to tell my buddy about that, and I'm going to go and I'm going to share it, and I'm going to be like, this is courage, this is amazing, this and that, whatever. But then I'm not going to actually make any changes in my life. It's all this. Yeah. And the reason why is because I'm going to come up with excuses. My ego is going to help me come up with reasons why I can't. why I can't. Yeah, but I wasn't able to do that because this and that, whatever. I couldn't do this because this and that, whatever. Or, you know, so I'm going to create these reasons why I can't do the same thing or I can't take ownership. But it's going to take a while, either a coach or some person who's willing to give me a little bit of tough love and hold up a mirror to me, or maybe me hitting rock bottom or just wisdom and life experience, for me to be able to put these two together and see that I'm being hypocritical, mm-hmm. and make that connection and say, oh, I like the idea of this, but I'm not implementing. I'm not, my actions are not aligning with my words. So I think that's the answer that to the question you're asking me is, why do these guys see this, but then they don't do anything?
They see it, and I'm not painting myself as like better than them, but I see a lot of guys do this, and then they'll see something like that, and they'll acknowledge the fact that it takes courage to do that. But then in their own lives, they don't take ownership on doing things that they can create a better marriage with mm-hmm. their wife, or they can show up better as a father by doing some internal work on themselves. You know, they don't, and those are such easy things that they can embrace in their lives. But like you said, they'll make excuses about it, and they still play the victim to the external circumstances yeah. in their life, even though they see somebody that has persevered like you, that wasn't given any extra anything to overcome these challenges. And they'll be like, oh yeah, but my circumstances are different. So I'm still not going to put time into having a great relationship with my wife. I'm not going to do couples counseling or do any type of, you know, development work with her so we can have that better communication. Like, they won't do the little things like that. And it hurts me to see guys do that, because I know men can show up better, mm-hmm. right? I know they can. And that victimhood just takes them out of being courageous and embracing the little small things that will eventually compound themselves to overcome that and take ownership and then actually start to cultivate the life that they want to have.
Yeah. And this is something that that has come up a lot with my guys. And when really there starts to be some tension in the relationship, and, you know, I will usually tell my guys, listen, if you're not pissed off at me at some point or another, if you don't sense tension between us at some point on this journey, either you're not working hard enough or I'm not working hard enough. There should be, because I'm pinning you against yourself on this journey a lot. And one of the ways that I'm doing that is I'm trying to create alignment between your words and your actions. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to take on an unconventional and strong stance, but I'm going to argue that you are better. You are better because of the fact that you do that. And because I believe that to the world, you are better. And to the world, we are nothing more than our actions. Mm-hmm. We're not our heart. Yeah. We're not our feelings. We're not our thoughts. We're not our intentions. Oh, I meant well. Mm-hmm. No, we're not. We're none of those things. We are our actions. Yeah. So the caveat or the positive side spin on that, because that could sound kind of bleak, like, oh, well, then I really shouldn't bother because Johnny's better than me. And
I'm a complete piece of shit.
Yeah. No, actually, the work in that and the positive side to that is that we're actually only one step away from getting better. Absolutely. And becoming better. And we have full control over that because, it lies in our actions. Yeah. But the actions are often backed by courage.
Mm-hmm. That's brilliant.
Ownership.
I love that. You're one action away.
That's
from turning the tide.
We are one action, becoming a better man from, we're one action away from it, one single action.
Well, and this is where, too, the second piece that I see guys really struggle with is this kind of the passivity that we have and avoidance to then start to make that one action. They're like, yes, Frank, okay, I hear you, Johnny. I'm listening to you guys, and I see that I could do more and stop blaming my job or blaming, you know, my kids' after school activities for my lack of connection with my wife, right? Like they're acknowledging it, mm-hmm. but then they're just passive and avoidant to any of the extra work. And yet they'll still go out and have drinks with the buddies and act as though that they're like this masculine dude, yet they're unwilling to actually present real courage, which is stepping foot into this. That avoidance for me can look a lot of different ways. That passivity can look a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not challenging even your relationship and saying, hey, we need to do better, and sitting your wife down and saying, what can we do as a couple? Sometimes that passivity is letting, you know, your kids run around and do whatever they want and not creating any structure for them, mm-hmm. you know? And sometimes that passivity can look like you saying, I'll get to it tomorrow.
Right. Yeah.
I'll get to it next week. I got plenty of time.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest places where that pops up, and you touched on this, is communication. Mm-hmm. Is communication, is that there's passivity and avoidance in communication. And this is a big one. This is a big one. There's so much to unpack on this one. And I really get excited, actually, to work on this with my guys, assertive communication, and what it looks like and what it means, because there's courage in that. There's absolutely courage in that. You know, I think that a lot of this stuff might be coming as a surprise to some of the people listening, because they're probably thinking, maybe not all of it, but I think that courage, the way it shows up today in modern day society, is very different than how it maybe showed up, you know, just a long time ago, even 100 years ago. But one of the ways that it shows up today, and one major testament of courage, is our ability to assert ourselves mm-hmm. in our interpersonal relationships, and even in the workplace, and just in our interactions with people. And I think that instead we're seeing a lot of passivity, mm-hmm. passive-aggressive communication. I see a lot of that, man.
It's so bad.
And really, it's disheartening and it's concerning, and I don't want to sound judgmental, but I'm human. You know, is when some of these guys who pride themselves on their masculinity, on this kind of very surface masculinity. You know what? Let me give more credit than that. Maybe it's not always a surface masculinity, but they pride themselves on living in alignment with masculine virtues, but they forgot the one about assertive communication.
Yeah.
And then I'm just having an exchange with them, and I notice, like, dodging, avoidance, you know, passivity.
Excuses.
And I'm just like, did you not get the memo on this one? Like, you missed that class.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's a big one, man. It's a big one, and it makes people really uncomfortable.
In today's world, for sure, man. Like, dudes are, there's some weird narrative that, you know, confrontation or argument is not healthy. And it's like, it's super healthy.
Right.
Like, you should, like, if you're being challenged by somebody, and whether you're having to question something within you, or you're having to defend a position eloquently and intellectually, mm-hmm. those are all very positive things to dialogue and critical thinking. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all positive influences on society. We wouldn't be where we are today if it weren't for those things.
Yep.
But you're right. There's a very much a lack of assertive communication today. And that shows in passivity, and that shows in, you know, the victimhood, that shows in the avoidance of really having deep conversations and deep connections with the people in your life, to be honest.
How about in the household specifically? Because you talk a lot about martyrdom.
Yeah.
How do you feel passivity shows up in that instance, in martyrdom?
Well, you know, and I do actually have coached a few women, and part of that comes with me understanding that, like, when it comes to martyrdom, I don't know necessarily that it's going to directly correlate, but what I would say is, in the household, what I see happen is guys will become doormats because women hold the keys to sex.
So they won't set a boundary.
Correct. So there's no boundaries. There's no assertive communication because the woman holds the key to sex. So they're like, well, shit, if I say this to my wife tonight, I'm definitely not getting laid. Mm-hmm. And if I say this, we're going to have an argument, and I don't want to do an argument. And I want to, and so we'll just put this under the rug, and I'll bring it up in like a week or so, but it'll never get brought back up. And then you guys will have another argument about the same thing, or another issue about the same thing. So in the household, what I find when I'm coaching men, and when I've coached women as well, what I find is that guys become more doormats in those relationships. And even the guys that want to go out and shoot pool and drink and act as though they are incredibly masculine, when you look at their household, when you look at their relationship, they're not that way. Mm-hmm. And that becomes part of that lack of courage, because those you know, when you're talking about something as intimate as sex, right? And you're saying that guys are being cowardice, because the fact that sex is being dangled in front of them and they're so unwilling to lose the possibility of sex that they're just not even willing to be courageous and actually be a healthy masculine man in the relationship mm-hmm. and confront their partner with real conversations. That is the problem for me. That's a problem for me because I've been that guy too. I've been him in relationships where I'm like, maybe not. Like maybe I don't want to say those things. I would love to have sex this week, you know?
Yeah, sure. And I think that sometimes it's a genuine desire for sex. And I think other times sex represents validation.
Sure, absolutely.
And sometimes it's not even about sex. It's exclusively the validation of correct. I'm a good husband or I'm a good father. And because of it, yeah, passivity. They're not setting boundaries. They're not saying no. Right. They're not making requests when they need something. They're over apologizing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And these are all examples of how passivity, I think, can show up that I've seen a lot and heard a lot about from my guys. And unfortunately, they don't make that connection that is the antithesis of courage.
Right.
Yeah.
And if we're not doing that, like you're not going to be able to find, you just won't be able to find that healthy man that you want to be because you're always going to have resentment inside. You're going to have resentment for yourself. You're going to have resentment for your spouse or your girlfriend. You're going to have resentment for that other person because the fact that you're beating yourself up that you didn't speak your truth, right? This is something that we as humans harbor. And that energy harbors within us, which can cause other internal problems, physical problems in us, right? And a lot of that can manifest itself in so many different ways,
mm-hmm.
whether it's depression, whether it's cancer, whether it's, you know, just completely dysfunctional relationships, that resentment will show up.
It will.
So you're sitting there and you're like, I'm not going to have this communication. And so I'm going to bury it. But then energetically, that is being felt and is going to impact your relationship, whether it's with your kids, whether it's with your spouse, whoever it's with, it's going to be there. And so when we talk about that, that passivity is never a good thing. That avoidance is never a good thing. It's never going to be a proponent of positive masculinity that follows this stepping into who we want to become as men. It's going to detract us from that. And it's going to make it so that we won't ever achieve that kind of guy because we're going to have so much dysfunction internally that we're never going to see who we really want to be because it's going to revolve around us taking risks. It's going to revolve around us not procrastinating in life and taking action, right? And that becomes part of what we also integrate or talked about, the integration of ownership. All of that then now comes back to, okay, how do we start taking risks again? Whether it's in our relationship or whether it's in us finding a passion.
Right.
Right? How do we take risks again? How do we allow ourselves to do that?
Yeah, a lot of guys are risk averse because of a fear of failure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of a fear of rejection or even just a fear of vulnerability. So they don't take risks. And risk aversion is not while the justification to self might be, I'm simply being prudent, you know, try not to excuse your risk aversion by calling yourself prudent. Kind of like, don't call avoidance sacrifice.
Yeah.
if it's really avoidance.
Right.
Don't call risk aversion prudence if it's really risk aversion.
Right.
Obviously, we have to learn how to measure a risk, you know, and determine whether or not the outcome, the worst case scenario or the worst possible outcome is insurmountable.
Yeah.
But if we do determine that the worst possible outcome is not something that's going to kill us, destroy us, ruin our family, and it's ultimately not something that's insurmountable, then we really need to consider whether or not maybe that's a risk worth taking.
Yeah.
But typically, if we're not being intentional about that and seeking courage and knowing what courage looks like, we will usually subconsciously find ways to avoid these risks or to avoid taking risks in general.
Well, and it's funny, I do a practice with my guys when this is something they struggle with. I'll do a practice with them where we start to play this game of why, right? Or what happens then? What happens then if this, right? What happens then if this? And as soon as you keep going down this loop of what happens then if this, you find out very commonly that the current life they're living is actually the worst case scenario they're scared of. And you're like, do you see what just happened? You are avoiding taking a risk in something in your life, whether it's your relationship or whether it's you're trying to find purpose, whether you're stagnant, whatever it is, you're avoiding a risk because the ultimate pain that you're going to feel is actually where you currently are.
Mm.
But they've never thought about this conversation that way because we're highly adaptable creatures. We find certain levels of comfort in misery. This has been the trajectory of human species since we've started. And even in today, we would prefer the comfort, the level of comfort in the devil we know than the potential of failure in the devil we don't.
Right.
But we also don't look at it as we're also willing to accept all of the goodness if we actually succeed. Right. And so when these guys end up walking through this process and they come to find out, it's every single time, every time. They find out that they're living their worst
case
scenario.
They're living their greatest
fear. They're literally living their nightmare.
Yeah.
And you're like, boom, you just called it. And they're just like, oh my God, I am living the one thing I'm scared of. And I didn't even know it.
Yeah. Well, and we don't take ourselves through that process, you know, is that most of this stuff that comes up, most of the things that we're talking about here, a lot of it is subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the lack of courage is the ego inventing things for us to continue on that trajectory, to stay in our comfort zone, to stay in the place that's safe, even if the place that's safe is not happy.
No.
Even if we're not happy there, and even if we're miserable there in some way, it's a familiar misery or it's a familiar discomfort.
Correct.
I don't want a different kind of discomfort. But yeah, our awareness around that is often is lacking. Yeah. And it's not until somebody takes you through this very kind of objective process of like, okay, so why?
Yes.
You know, and rationalizing, okay, but then what's the reason you're afraid of that?
So what's next?
And then what's the reason you're afraid of that? Because what could that lead to? And then you take them through identifying the emotion, but then the rational process of recognizing what it is that they're afraid of. And then this realization of, I'm sort of kind of living that fear right now. So what's on the line?
Yeah. What do you have to risk now?
Right.
You know? And all of this, this men, it's a funny meme that's always on Instagram. It's like why men live shorter lives than women, or why women live longer than men. It's like a group of dudes around a fire and they're throwing freaking gasoline on it and the gasoline catches fire.
Or throwing a boulder down a hill.
Yeah. We are predestined for higher levels of risk as men, right? And so, I joke about it, but we have to get to some form of semblance of that again, I think, as a collective of men, because that's where we can really find our exploration of passion and really start to cultivate purpose in life, is when we start to become pro-risk, when we start to put ourselves back out there. You know, athletes don't become elite athletes because they were protecting their skills. They had to experiment. Mm-hmm. They had to get risky in the way that they performed. They had to put themselves out there and not think about the consequences, but think about the rewards. That's what they had to do to become elite. It's the same thing with special operations. And it's the same thing as men. If we want to be that best version of ourselves, we got to be willing to get out and risk again. We got to be willing to shed the victimhood, to embrace the ownership and say, I'm willing to go out and fail. I'm willing to expose myself and be vulnerable. And this is what then cultivates authenticity. Because right now, what I see is a lot of men living in inauthentic lives.
Mm.
And this can be painted in a couple of different ways. One is this overly nice guy that wants to appease everybody because he's so fearful that he's going to be excommunicated or Frank's not going to like him or whatever. So he becomes a doormat for everybody in life because he's so inauthentic with who he is because he hasn't experienced risk, or he's been so risk averse and he's been such a victim that he's like, I feel safer just being nice to everyone.
Yep.
And then you have the polar opposite, the asshole, the guy that's like, I'm the realist.
We were talking about earlier, kind of a little bit. Yeah.
I'm the realist. I'm the tough guy. I'm going to tell you how it really is. And sorry if that makes me an asshole, right? You have both of those guys, but they're both living inauthentically.
Yeah.
Because there's things they're running away from. There's a lack of courage, because a lot of times the guy that's saying he's an asshole and he's accepted this about himself, a lot of times what's happening is he's in conversations that make him feel very inadequate about himself. And then he doesn't know how to be supportive. He only knows how to be negative because he doesn't know how to deal with the emotion, or he doesn't know how to deal with the lack of value he has for who he is, or the lack of capability he believes he has, right?
Yep. And there is a lot of people do not make this connection between authenticity / honesty and courage.
Right.
And they don't realize that that is a strength that is rooted in courage. Mm-hmm. There absolutely is courage and honesty and living authentically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It takes balls. Mm-hmm. It takes balls to lead with your truest self, because that means flaws and all, mm-hmm. you know, and you have to be willing to show up to a conversation where you might feel inadequate and then lean into that inadequacy rather than taking on the role of the nice guy or on the other end of the spectrum, the asshole, you know, the contrarian who's going to shoot it down.
Because, every time.
Yeah, because, you know, if I assert myself to have a negative position here, I'm going to at least look like I know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you know, that only works for so long.
It does.
Yeah.
But it also just creates a lot of dysfunction internally.
Yeah.
And for me, when I'm looking at, like, how do we really help men on this path? Like, we've got to get them to realize that when they're doing those things, that internal dialogue needs to start to click up and be like, no, this is me. This is a me thing. Mm. This is a me thing right now. I've got to learn to take ownership. I've got to learn to address my own things. I've got to learn to have courage to go into the shadows. I know that's what I avoided for so long. I told guys, I was at an event years ago that I was speaking at, and I told guys, I was like, dude, I've done all these things. I've been blown up in vehicles. I've been shot at. I've done all this stuff. I've gone out on highly, highly volatile missions and helicopters and all these things. I've done all this stuff. Scariest thing was having to sit down with myself and say, what are the shadows I need to dive into right now to start to grow as a man? Mm-hmm. Like, that's hard, dude. That is super hard. So there's nothing about what we're talking about in this episode or what we're talking about at all that's easy for men to do. The whole point of it is courageous because it's fucking hard.
It's courageous because it's hard and because it involves fear.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is because we are terrified by it. It sends us into the terror zone, but we do it anyway.
And courage doesn't exist without fear.
Amen, brother.
Courage does not exist without fear. And I
gotta love that. Anybody when people say, oh, I didn't feel courage.
Yeah.
Please go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just saying, we talked about it, and I had Tony Blauer on the show, and he's got a whole program based around fear. And this guy's a well-respected in the self-defense space, from special operations to MMA fighters alike. He's very well-respected across the board. And he talks about fear. Fear is the most powerful tool we have. To say we don't have fear is essentially saying that we're weak and we are cowards, because fear drives you to do things that you could not do without having that emotional and neurological response to being afraid of something. And that fear creates courage. Even on smaller scales, like, take away my experience in hostile environments. When I go on a stage to speak, I still get butterflies in my stomach. I'll still feel my heart race. I'll still feel a little bit of that fear of, like, oh my God, are they going to like this? Like, am I going to deliver a message that they even care about? Am I going to impact anybody's life? Like, I have that fear. But then the courage steps in and says, Johnny, you got to go out there regardless, and you got to deliver.
Right.
And you got to step forward into this. And on a small scale, those moments of courage enter everybody's life. And sometimes it is an assertive conversation. Sometimes it is telling somebody, hey, please stop treating somebody this way out in public. You know, mm-hmm. Sometimes it is getting on a stage. Sometimes it is saying, hey, I'm not going to take a medication. I'm going to actually say, I'm going to look at some other ways on how I'm going to improve my life, right? Or improve my positioning so I can get off this, right? Like, courage shows up in so many different ways, but fear is that driver for it. And to say you don't have it, you're taking something big away from your life.
You're denying your humanity. Mm. Fear is all throughout our circuitry. It's all throughout our wiring. I mean, we're animals. we're wired to protect ourselves. And that means emotionally as well. Mm-hmm. So if we feel fear anytime we sense any type of, from any perceived danger.
Yeah.
And perceived danger can be anything that we think is going to harm us or hurt us in any way whatsoever. So we're feeling fear constantly.
Yeah.
It is probably one of the most commonly felt, if not the most commonly felt emotion. So yeah, Yeah, denying that we feel it is just silly.
Yeah.
It's denying a part of your humanity. And I think it's okay for us to give this little bit of a hint that the first step into having more courage in your life is to be willing to embrace fear mm-hmm. and recognize that fear is an opportunity.
Yeah.
That don't think that because you're feeling fear that means that you're a coward. Mm-hmm. Don't think that because you're feeling fear that means that you're never going to be courageous. Mm-hmm. Because like you, people, performance artists and people who speak and even in a situation like this where there's cameras on us and lights and shit like that, every single fucking time I'm in this situation, I get a little bit of jolt of like, butterflies in the stomach. And it's a form of fear. It's a little hint of anxiety that's there. Mm-hmm. But then there's this courage to lean into that anyway mm-hmm. and be like, you got to do it anyway, embrace it anyway. But that fear, as you put it, it's in those times that we are the most obstructed and the most overwhelmed with fear that we're actually gifted with an opportunity to showcase our character by taking an act of courage. Mm-hmm. And it's only in those times.
Yep.
There's no act of courage to be taken if fear doesn't exist.
Right.
And that's just a very simple concept that people need to start wrapping their heads around more. And men need to recognize, stop avoiding fear, stop being afraid of fear, stop denying that you feel fear. Because, bro, that's real. Just fucking silly. Yeah. And lean into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where courage begins.
Right. And that's where this all kind of ends and begins with this episode, is the fact that if we're really looking to step into the men that we want the world to see, that we want to impact the future generations with, the men that we're authentic with deep down inside, we've got to have the courage to find him. We've got to have the courage to counter the internal insecurity and ego that's trying to protect for whatever reason. I can go into a plethora of different, evolutionary pieces on why it does this, but it's trying to protect us because it feels unsafe. Mm-hmm. We have to go in and be courageous enough to question that man inside, that counter argument that we're having, and say, I'm still going to walk through this. I'm still going to die, or I'm still going to dive into this and figure out what's really deeper, right? Mm-hmm. And if we can do that as a collective group of men, we are going to find ourselves in a far better place than we are today, and then in a far better place than our fathers and grandfathers were. And that's the beginning. This is the next step in this evolution of stepping into the men that we want to become, of stepping into the evolution of what men can become in the future, and shed this desire to want to protect this false persona of a man that doesn't exist, a man that's, and not only a man that doesn't exist, but a form of man that's not even really beneficial to society, because it's actually a very weak man. It's a very hurt man. It's a very
cowardly
and disoriented. It's not a man of truth. It's not a man of authenticity. And that's not where we want men to be moving forward.
Amen, brother. Yeah. It's, if you feel terrified, if you listen to this and you're feeling scared, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
But if you're feeling terrified, you're on the right trajectory.
Yeah.
Don't run from that. Yeah. That's the scary part, is like the way out is through. Yeah. Lean into that. Lean into it. We got to be willing to feel like a little bitch.
Absolutely. You got to be willing. And like Joe Rogan says, he says, I feel it. And then I tell that little bitch to shut up because I'm going to keep going. And that's what he does. And it's like, in a very simple way, that's what you're doing. You're saying, yeah, I hear you. I know you're there.
That's right.
I acknowledge you. But I'm going to tell you, shut the fuck up.
That's right. It's the two. There has to be both.
Yeah.
Is that one, you have to honor it. Yep. And then two, you got to keep going.
Yeah.
Yep. Amen, man.
So good. Yeah. Well, guys, we are wrapping this second episode up on this series, Stepping Into the Man That You Want to Become, all about courage. I feel like we did a good job doing a deep dive for you guys. Hopefully, you have some things to pull away. Hopefully, you have some questions for yourself. And hopefully, you guys are enjoying what's going on here, because at the end of this, we're going to have something very special for you guys to participate in with Frank and myself. We're going to open that up a little later on, but I want to let you guys know that it is coming. So stick around for the rest of the series. We've got two more episodes after this, which are going to be doozies. The next one's going to make you really uncomfortable, but all of them should make you a little uncomfortable. We should be challenging you a little bit, but we want you guys to be this best version. We truly want you guys to be this authentic man that can go out into the world and really honor who he is and not feel challenged by situations because of the fact he's always feeling powerful in the man that he presents. So that's why this series is existing. That's why we decided to do it. And we hope you guys are enjoying the ride so far. So stick around, come in next week, get ready for the third installment of this series, and we'll see you guys then.